Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, a fiend coming out. You stick on, stick that big red light bulb on for a fiend.
And his partner, Feather Top End of Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. I am not the creator of Burniston, neither am I a former TNA wrestler. Well, there goes the first mention of TNA. I am, in fact, John, usually producing the shows, but taking over the hosting duties in Rab and Grado's absence. Congratulations to Rab, by the way. Tied the knot at the weekend, and reports were it wasn't your traditional wrestling wedding, so there was no invasion from Grado, so that's good news. So, yeah, covering the show for Rab and Grado, and with me from the Marks podcast, Scotland's answer to Dave Meltzer, it's Sports Keeders, Gary Cassidy. How are you, Gary?
Every time you say that, I get the feel I'm going to get a hunnels or mail than I usually get hate messages on Twitter, but I'm doing no too bad at all. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. And we thought Big Alex is off. We talked about this in the Marks podcast. If you didn't catch it on Tuesday, he's got a hot date. So we've had to bring in a substitute. And we thought we need someone with a bit of wrestling now. Someone who's been there, done it in the ring. So we thought we'd bring in the experts this week. So please welcome to Wrestling Daft, second time around, it's the Fresh Prince of Des Moines Square, the one and only Ravy Davey. How you doing, Davey?
What's happening, troops? I'm absolutely buzzing to be here today, you know what I mean? Getting a chance to co-host the show. I love listening to the show every week, so getting to do this and dabbling a bit of hosting is actually fantastic. But I actually thought you brought me on for my daftness and no my wrestling. I thought, Gary, we've got to cover the rest of the daftness, you know what I mean?
I've got the rest of it.
I actually did a wee bit of studying and that, you know what I mean? And looked at all the stuff just to make sure I'm not coming on without the knowledge, you know what I mean?
You've probably done more research than Grado ever has for this show, to be fair, mate. So you'll probably be able to...
He's done a lot of work before. He's done a lot of work to get the show where it is, you know what I mean? We just did his work before the wrestling, that.
Absolutely. So what have you been up to during lockdown, Davey? Because we spoke to you on the show just at the start of lockdown. How's it been treating you, mate?
I've put on a cut of stone, that, know what I mean? It's not been treated as well, but I finally get back to work about 6 weeks ago, so that's doing as good, know what I mean? That's helping with the mental health and all that, getting out just out to the boys and that, getting back to work, making a bit more money, because for that full furlough, know what I mean? I'm self-employed, so I wasn't getting furloughed, I was just having to scrape by, know what I mean, which wasn't really the best, but no, I'm actually managed to put money by for a wee trip to Amsterdam this weekend, know what I mean? So it's looking up, because everything's gone up now.
Nice. I guess, because you're self-employed, Davey, I mean, there was a bit of money coming in from the wrestling as well, and obviously that's kind of hit your pocket as well, I'm guessing.
The wrestling as well, you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm a bit embarrassed asking people to buy my merch and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Because obviously people are going through a hard time as well, so there's no like merchandise sales, no wrestling, and there was no work at that point, you know what I mean? So I was hit a lot of angles, but I'm finally obviously getting back my feet in that now, so it's getting better, you know what I mean? And obviously the sun is shining, as they say.
I think if you're self-employed and you're a wrestler, which is pretty much self-employed, I don't think you can be too mad at asking people to spend a bit of money on merch, because that's the worst cocktail you can have.
I would never people will tell you this, any wrestler will tell you this. Not, I mean, I would ask people to buy my merch every day of the week, but just when there's a global pandemic, you know what I mean? I'm fair. for a place to go, I know the script, not. I mean, people are obviously going to be in the same boat, so it's not really nice. If you want to buy them, it's not. I mean, they can mail me and ask me, but I'm not going to be flogging it. No, I mean, none of time with us anyway. Because I know the struggle, not. I mean, somebody asked me to buy them, that's I'd have clearly told them where to go, not. I mean, so.
Well, like, I'll just scrap that from the show plan. When we put the wrestling daft merch right now, I'll scrap that for the show plan.
Not bad, mate. No, sorry.
David, I mean, how you been keeping up with the wrestling? I mean, you've been still being able to practice. How you been doing that?
Luckily I've got an 8-year-old boy, you know what I mean, who's wrestling daft, as they would say. So he wants the goodies we travel playing all the time and wrestle, you know what I mean? So that's good. That actually does keeps me I'd probably be a much bit I'd probably have put on a bit more weight than I've ever done if I didn't have that, you know what I mean, running a bit after him. So that's done as good. And then obviously the one good thing about lockdown is obviously he was at school and that, so we started a wee tradition, staying up and watching the pay-per-views and that, you know what I mean? So that was quite good. He used to buzz off. I'd wake him up at 12 o'clock or quarter to 12. We'd go down and have our sweeties and that, and we'd watch the telly, which obviously was brilliant because I used to do that as a wee boy. We were about his age when I started doing it, so yeah. It's a good wee flashback for me. And he was buzzing off it, so he's actually a bit disappointed now when I had to go back to work.
You know what, have you been missing it, Davey, or?
Oh, mate, I am. Like, I can tell that wrestling definitely is when I let my anger out and stuff like that, man, because like, in work the other week, I couldn't find my hard tap, man, and I just thought somebody stole it. I ended up going mental, man, and was like flinging stuff about, no, like, what's happening? I just, after that, I was like, what's wrong with me? Usually I'd just be like, ah, chilled, not even leaving care, and I was just getting pure flustered or something, man, so I was realising that's probably because I'm no flinging people about in the ring or getting flung about in the ring.
As long as you're not throwing people about your work, going to the
soup, don't be daft, don't be dead. Just, I noticed something I wouldn't even be caring about, not when I'd be like, oh well, not when I mean, I just need to get another one. I was like, ugh. And I ended up, the most embarrassing thing about it was I'd left it down at my arse, down at the boat with the site, so it was actually still there. Not.
Listen, obviously, we're in a strange bit of wrestling. The world's went, in the wrestling world, certainly in Scotland and UK and worldwide, it's had a bit of a time with the speaking out movement, and you have been a crusader online, you know, going against the people that have been involved in this. I mean, how strongly do you feel about it, Davey?
Well, the way I see it, right, I don't want to be a big crusader. I don't want to be like a hero, right? Like, I don't want to be like an advocate. Like, obviously, I want to, like, at the end of the day, people should be like saying these things because obviously it's bad. Not I mean, the way I identify it is, like, see if like, on Facebook somebody said there was like a paedophile or like somebody that had like sexual assault charges in your area, and you seen that on Facebook, there was good evidence for it, you'd share it, know what I mean? So when I'd seen things with evidence on it, I was like, I'm sharing it, know what I mean? Obviously, there's a lot of false accusations and stuff like that. I'm not touching it like, I'm going to date it like, because then I could end up looking like an idiot if I believe somebody who's lied about something, know what I mean? So the way I see it is, I'm just being 100%. The way I'm seeing it is, anybody that I've seen with evidence or against them that was 100%, and they tried to, like, cop their way out of it, I just said, no, that's bullshit. Well, we can see it there, know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like if it, like, as I was saying to the Facebook, you'd share it, not I mean, you'd let everybody know about it, so that's the way I done, not I mean, I just thought that.
You happy with the steps that all the promotions have been taking then, aye?
Well, it's the end of the day, we can't really talk it in the noon until we actually see it in live up front, not I mean, at the end of the day, that's one of the ones, I'm a bit burnt out of it, so it's one of the ones, but I just want to see how it goes and we'll see what everybody gets with it at the end of the day, not I mean? Because it was a lot. No, I mean, there was a lot of things coming out. There's a lot of things that are coming out that as well. I'd see probably I don't think are true. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit and say anybody's a liar. Not I mean, because it obviously took a lot of people hard work to speak out. Not I mean, at the end of the day, nah, I'm proud of anybody that did it. So it's that way that I just knew that I've read everything. No, I've took my thoughts and I've gathered everything. I just want to see where all these companies will come through at the end. Not I mean, and see. Hopefully, we can just make this better. Because at the end of the day. As I'm saying, like, if it was in your area, you'd want it flushed out. So if it's in the business that we all apparently love, we should want it flushed out and all.
I think that's the perfect thing, because that's like always say it. There's always going to be wrestling. Obviously, if you can get rid of the bad stuff, then if you're going to be the guy that's been on the right side of everything, and you can say in your mind that you've been on the right side of things morally, then there's always going to be a place for you in wrestling. So it's the kind of thing that I just think as well with the statements, I keep saying this, there's been good statements, there's been bad statements, there's been nay statements for some companies, but it might turn out that the companies that have made bad statements or nay statements might take more steps behind the scenes. The ones that are saying a lot might not actually do a lot. So I don't think we will know until we get back to wrestling actually happening. Because
that's one of the things I see about it. Oz, obviously, everybody's wanting names named and heads on sticks and all that. But see if these companies are actually being the big companies that they're not, they're actually taking legal proceedings. We can't just say stuff like that on the can. They don't want to obviously be held liable just for people being idiots and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, technically, it isn't these companies' fault. No, I mean, if people have been doing this, obviously, we need to, as I said, work together and get rid of it. But I get, obviously, it was a lot. No, I mean, it was like something new every 2 seconds. It was hardcore.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I imagine a lot of guys were bumped out for it, no, I mean? Like, because it was mental.
It must have been hard for you seeing some of your mates, obviously, accusations against some of your mates as well, I'm guessing. Well,
I know, definitely. No, I mean, obviously, there was... And then seeing like, some stuff like, with people that you look up to and all that, and then it ends up being true and that and all, no, I mean, it's heartbreaking to be fair. No, I mean, it was one of the ones that we can you favour, no, I mean, it's just let's hope we get rid of these people and they just make sure they never come back and we fix it for ourselves, the future generations. Because at the end of the day, there's been all these scandals in wrestling. I mean, eventually the fans have just not got to come back, they've just not got to use the time of day, and then we've just got what's the point in doing it for, no, I mean, I get obviously. We all laugh at it, we all say we're all marks and all that, we all do it for ourselves, but obviously they're doing it for, we're obviously doing it for fans, we obviously want to make a living at this, we want to become professional wrestlers. Main thing is professional, that's one of the reasons as well I've obviously toned it down on Twitter on that as well, because like, at the end of the day, we've not got to be able to fix things if I'm out there blasting everybody, you know what I mean? Just need to start. It's not ideal, but we'll get through this, I hope anyway.
Well, fingers crossed, to cut, like you say, we get through this, and when we eventually get back into the venues, that it's all sorted, both out front and behind the scenes as well. So yeah, thanks for coming on, Davey. On the show, we've got all the usual stuff. We'll be doing the list of wrestling. I'll be looking back at the best debuts. We'll have your buddy and put overs from This Week in Wrestling. And on the retro review, we've got a special guest joining us from Cultaholic, Tom Campbell. He's going to be giving us some to check out from back in the day. Plus, Gary caught up with the legend that is Tama Tonga. Gary, there we go. The big guest, Davey. No, just you've got Tama Tonga, I know. What do we expect from Tama Tonga, Gary?
Oh, one of the ones that I always say this, some of the best interviews you get is the ones you don't get any time to prepare for. I got home about 3 minutes before I started doing this interview, so I didn't have any questions prepared, and it was probably one of my favourite interviews I've done. Guy was just brilliant. He's got one of the most, you know, people listening to this are listening to three folk, or two folk for Glasgow, one for Larbert. Our accents are the nicest to listen to. Tama Tonga has a beltry an accent and a beltry a voice, so he could have read the dictionary and I'd have been happy. But he spoke a lot about New Japan, a lot about the Good Brothers, which was the main kind of thing I was asking about. A lot about Evil, doing his, I know this isn't turning Japanese, but doing the heel turn in Japan. And then just a wee bit about his podcast, because... You know, we don't mind plugging other podcasts on here. Tama Tonga has his own one where his very first episode, which is the only thing I mentioned about his podcast in the full interview, the very first episode, he mentioned about how when the Bullet Club took off, he kind of had been learning for Gallows about how you should always try and make the most money out of anything you can. So he made counterfeit Bullet Club t-shirts and sold them through a baseball website. And got quite a bit of heat backstage for it, so I.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That is total carny wrestling behaviour.
Oh, that.
So superb. So I look forward to hearing that. But first, let's move on to your correspondence from last week. Now, I just caught this before I came on here. I thought it was brilliant. So Colt Cabana, someone sent this in to us. Colt Cabana on Twitter. Have you seen the? Is it Logan Paul went out and said $10,000? I'll wrestle any professional wrestler. And everyone. And did you do this, Davey?
No, I actually had a joke to build for it. I forgot to tweet it. Wait there, I'll get it up.
So Logan Paul went and said, $10,000, I'll wrestle anyone. And every professional wrestler from across the world has tweeted him back saying, I'll have a go. I was looking out for your reply, Davey. What did you go?
Mine was going to be $10,000 to anybody who gives me £7,668.5 British pounds.
So apparently then Colt Cabana's tweeted out then recent just there just now, $10,000 to any wrestler who can beat me in an influencer match. But this is the bit I love about it. Do you remember Grant Holt, who used to play for Norwich?
Aye.
Had a stint at
Aye.
He's just tweeted Colt Cabana back saying, anytime let me know, but he spelt no N-O, right? So Colt Cabana's then tweeted back Grant Holt. So Grant Holt and Colt Cabana are into this now. And Colt Cabana's...
Oh, that would be good, man. Big Grant Holt's about 6'5", isn't he, man?
I know. Big Colt Cabana's tweeted him back, I definitely beat you in a spelling bee pretty easily.
Do we remember the thing about Grant Holt's Twitter account in the first place?
No.
So his Twitter bio used to read... obviously, it's his official account, verified tick and all that. It said, dad of three beautiful girls, coach, pundit, and all-round nice guy. And the reply was, that's some weird names for your daughters.
Brilliant. So last week, we set you a bit of homework after we got a tweet from Chris. He said, after Marty Jannetty's tweet confessing to murder, I was wondering what is the best stroke funniest rumour you've heard about a wrestler? When I was at school, loads of rumours about the Warrior dying and then coming back. I remember that well. Davey, we'll come to you first in this. What's the best rumour you've heard about a wrestler? You must have heard a few crackers back.
To be fair, the one I heard that ended up turning it through, you know what I mean, was Jake Roberts taking fucking crack in Scotland at the... Oh, I'd heard about that before. I heard about that as a wee guy, you know what I mean?
I know. Gary, you've obviously got your finger in the pulse as a journalist. You must have heard a few.
Annoyingly, most of the bizarre ones are the ones that turn out to be true. Especially this year.
The ones I can think of.
I mentioned the one last week, and I still need to stick to it. The one that Vince McMahon died many years ago and has been replaced by an actor. I still think that is the most bizarre one ever, and could be true, but I don't think it is. Definitely don't.
That one happened with Ultimate Warrior as well, but
that was the rumour. I mean, that's the big one. That was the big one for me. Some belters coming in here. You mentioned...
Oh, the one with Randy Savage and...
Stephanie.
Aye,
yeah. Funnily enough, that made the list, Davey. Couple ones. You mentioned Jake the Snake there. Tommy says, the strange wrestling rumours was when my mate was younger, was that Jake the Snake Roberts owned a flat in Castlemilk. My mate lived there and spent most summers off school looking for him.
I've got another one. Sorry for interrupting there, mate, just because I'm thinking it and I'll end up forgetting if I don't. But could you've said that as well, that Roddy Piper was for the Gorbos.
Brilliant. But I think the Jake Snake one was true, because I think you had a girlfriend in Scotland, and that's how the old, you know, Greg was always talking to the show about that East Kilbride post office. That's how that all came about. So I think I don't know if he lived in Castlemilk, mind you, I don't know. Steve McQuernan on Twitter says Royal Rumble 2000 was going to be at Hampden. I cannot remember that. Ali says, I remember hearing when I was a wee guy that Papa Shango set the ring on fire and burnt the British Bulldog's dog to death. I don't think that happened.
I hope it didn't.
No. Chris says, have you heard this one being Glasgow boys? Apparently Nails moved to Glasgow and owned a used car lot in North Glasgow. I'm sure it was on his Wikipedia at one point.
I think I'd have heard about that one.
Viscera was fired off the WWE for doing a massive line of coke off the hood of a limo. the one that always did the rounds was Thomas, who says Mabel was the third man of the NWO. You've heard that one before.
Mabel.
They were trying to sign him, and then end up, they get a bumper contract.
Actually ended up getting spoken out about, and it was Tennille Dashwood, known as Emma, apparently stole a phone case for a shop or something like that, and that was how she got disciplined for WWE. But I never found out if it was true or no.
I think that maybe was true.
She ended up with mugshots and that, didn't they?
Aye.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that is. Flint Ironstack says the Mountie killed a couple of guys with a cattle prod. Jordan says, surely the constant teletext rumour. Remember on you guys are probably too young to remember.
I remember teletext.
Apparently there was a rumour on there on the wrestling pages that you used to scroll through that Kane was joining DX and he was going to change his gear from red and black to green and black.
I remember the photoshopped images a few years ago of that with Kane and X-Pac.
I always remember the games. You could turn them all different.
Apparently, Andy says Viscera got stuck in a motel bathtub after a house show in Louisville back in July 2000. Steve Blackman and Crash Holly had to pull him out. The bathtub broke and WWE had to pay $200 for a replacement. That ultimately led to Viscera's release from the WWE.
could believe that, to be fair. But
not too unbelievable, but I'm not sure on that one. Mainly Crash Holly being one of the guys to lift him out. I mean, I know Crash was a strong guy, but...
And finally, this one from Kyle. Not much of a wrestling rumour, but I heard at a show once that Grado and Kenny Williams were trained magicians. I even sent a PM to Kenny to see if this was true or not. Unfortunately, it turns out it's not for Kenny, but I'm not sure about Grado. Grado, have you ever heard that Grado is a magician, Davey?
No, it's not something that's ever came up in conversation anyway.
He's kept
that one secret if he is.
Yeah, well, we need to ask him about
that.
He is always good at disappearing. That's very true. He is good at disappearing, that's for sure. And Jan says, I heard the rumour that Grado was once in TNA. that's a lot of nonsense. That's the most far-fetched
one.
Sure,
I heard that one. It's the same as the other one. I mean, we spoke about it.
Right, so that's all your rumours. Thanks very much for that. I tell you what, here's the homework for next week, okay? And Davey, you're not going to be on next week, so I'm going to ask you this one. Have you ever seen a wrestling move used in a shoot fight? Have you ever seen someone drop kick? Have you ever seen someone suplex in a shoot fight?
I've seen people that use suplexes, not I, but the most, when I used to get drunk, that was before I'd gone into wrestling, I'd just always have a hangover, I'd always stun up people. I was out in the pubs and that.
So, yeah, that's your homework for next week. So, if you want to get in touch with that or anything random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft. You'll get us on Instagram at Wrestling Daft Podcast, and it's just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. So every week we separate the good from the bad in wrestling as we bury and put over stuff from this week. It's kind of like the MMA sort separated from the Raw Undergrounds of this world. I know you're a fan of the Raw Underground, but I had to use that.
I'm just going to sit in silence because I'm quietly standing by Raw Underground. I love it.
Davey, have you seen Raw Underground? As a wrestler, what do you make of it?
Aye, man, the way I see it is everybody always wants something new, you know what I mean? They always want stuff different, then whenever they do something different, everybody wants to piss and moan about it. Why not just let them date and then see when it's done, then criticise it if it was shite, or, you know what I mean? Let them tell the story before we decide if it was fucking...
I agree, John. I agree with Davey.
I'm not going to say anything against Davey. I agree, Davey. You're a wrestler. I totally agree.
Because obviously I'm through that situation. I mean, if I was to gain a story today, obviously, and I was to put all my hard work into it and all that, and then somebody would just as soon as seen it once, going, like, that's shite, you know what I mean? You would be like, oh, fucking hell, man. What am I meant to do? You always want new stuff, but if you give them new stuff, they fucking moan.
That is true. So let's do the buddies and put overs. Davey, we'll come to you first. What would you like to buddy and put over from this week in wrestling?
I'd like to put over, man, the story, obviously, with Rey Mysterio, Dominic and Seth Rollins. Obviously, it's ramping up now. It's actually going to be Dominic wrestling, and usually they'd have a way to go to it where eventually, like, Rey Mysterio can do wrestling. I think it's actually going to be Dominic versus Seth Rollins one-on-one. I actually really like to see that. No, I mean, I think they've obviously put a lot of time and effort in it, and the angle at the Monday there was really good. No, I mean, with it, I'm hitting them with the kendo sticks and stuff like that, and then obviously the marks and that makes you, is that not really makes me, even though I know it still makes me go, oh, batter him, me man. Know what I mean? Yeah. my wee boys like sending me the TikToks. Know what I mean? Stuff like he's right invested in it. That and all. So it's obviously it's working with something. Know what I mean?
Getting over the younger demographic, which as we all know, that is the golden chalice now. Is the younger demographic.
I've not looked this week, but last week that segment, the one that they done the week before, was the most viewed segment for on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Because the thing I was saying, obviously, see the way you were saying there about the Wayne's demographic. See, if I see a wrestling t-shirt I liked and I was skint, probably wouldn't buy it, you know what I mean? But see, if my Wayne asked me to buy something, not I mean, for him wrestling wise, and I had my last £20, a good chance I'm going to buy it for him, not I mean? Just because it's me doing it, not I mean? So that is the demographic. So that's what's got to sell stuff for them at the end of the day.
And what are you buddying, Davey? Sorry.
Yeah, well, I didn't really like the. I don't know if you've seen it on TNA. I actually, I've started watching that. You know, I actually like TNA. I suppose I could replace Grado for the TNA thing with here tonight. Not because I actually know what I used to watch it since 2003. But the thing with RVD and that man, that the thing with they were just. Oh, I see, I wanted to watch a softcore porno, man. I wouldn't really watch wrestling for it, no. I mean, they're just not getting all at it, not thing. But, and I get that's obviously it's today that it's to annoy people and that, but I just think it's. I don't know. It's...
It's the only thing I hate about Rico and Impact.
One of my heroes, honestly, Rob Van Dam is looking like a bit of an old guy, you know what I mean? It hurts
doing soft porn.
So I'm not going to tread over old ground on the marks. Obviously, I buried Retribution quite badly and I praised Raw Underground and Dominic. So I'm not going to go old ground. I'm whipping to the blue here. I'm going to start with the biddy because it's a wee bit of a serious one and then I'll do my put over. The biddy, we kind of spoke a wee bit earlier about this, the full speaking out stuff. My biddy is Rev Pro as a promotion. So Rev Pro, 2 weeks ago, put out a post that the promoter Andy Quilden had done a 4-hour podcast. I've not listened to it, but a 4-hour podcast all about the speaking out movement. Seen a few snippets here and there. Apparently delved pretty deeply into the speaking out movement in this 4-hour podcast. And then 2 weeks later, they have announced their comeback show, and on the poster is several talents, so I'll no name just for the sake of it, but several talents who were accused in the speaking out movement. So it's the most tone-deaf thing ever. And this show was recorded 2 weeks ago. So it was recorded around the same time as the podcast was recorded. Just tone-deaf. Absolutely hate it.
Did Rev Pro, were they not very active initially as well?
Yes.
They were one of the first to it and scrapping the management and all that sort of stuff. And then this is what they're doing. You're joking.
This is the thing that I mentioned earlier when I said about, you know, people can say a lot, but it doesn't mean they do a lot.
That's one of the reasons I'm saying I'm keen to take a step back and just going to see how it actually plays out now, because there's things like that. I mean, obviously, and that's why I'm actually kind of glad a lot of people have took their time now, because there's the stuff like this. These people have jammed straight in, know what I mean? I happened to Progress as well. They just jammed straight in and then it all blew up in my face, know what I mean? Stuff like that. So I'm actually glad that a lot of places are taking their time and actually, because look at this shit show now, know what I mean? That's, I'm not lying in names that I either, know what I mean? Because it's just giving these dafties a the time of day. But people that are like trying to blacklist people for speaking out their pals' rate and stuff like that. I mean, stuff that there's actually evidence against, and these people are still getting booked that because they can be a couple of flips and were one of the best wrestlers in the world. No, I mean, it doesn't matter, man. It should still be. If you're going to, end of the day, see if it'd be different, see if the ref over at least just got to sit back and no be big white knights and all that.
Aye.
And I can understand, but they're wanting to be the faces of it, so be the fucking faces of it. And,
yeah, it was just pure tone deaf. It was just when I seen the poster, I was, oh, you're joking. I took a wee bit of time before I actually said it, and about it, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm overreacting. And yeah, then the day I was like, no, it's just.
What's the online reaction been like to it, Gary?
Very mixed, but I would say the bad comments are a bit more solid and forthcoming than the good comments. A lot of people saying, oh well, you know, nothing's proven, all this kind of thing. But it's the fact that they came out and were trying to be really transparent and obviously putting somebody on the poster without addressing why they've decided to put them on the poster when there's still active accusations. Just no good. Not a good look at all.
No,
so just no for me.
So what's put over then?
My put over, we've mentioned a lot of TNA stuff, and I'm going to put over somebody, and you'll know why I'm going to put them over as soon as I say it. I'm very transparent here. Eric Young, man.
Oh, wow, that was class.
Eric Young last night, you know, his first singles match in Impact. He mentioned on the Chris Van Vliet interview before I got to interview him how he felt like he hadn't wrestled in 3 years because he was going out doing a 30-second match, wasn't even getting like a minute on TV, doing the job essentially. But last night, oh man, had an absolute belter of a match with Willie Mack. Of course, what do you do when you've been in WWE for 4 years? You come out in your first singles match, you do the best pile driver you possibly ever can. Absolutely amazing. And just for a shameless plug, I'm sure we'll be airing this interview in the coming weeks on this show anyway. But I got to interview Eric Young, and that guy, I was already kind of invested in Impact anyway. I love what they've been doing for the past couple of years, and I keep saying it, they've got themselves into a position where people are going to start paying attention now. It's no by luck, it's not an overnight success. I go to interview him, and nobody has been more passionate, more determined, just more motivated. Seems like a guy that's got a point to prove, and I just can't wait to see what he does going forward. But that match last night was fantastic, and I can't wait to see him against. There's two matches with seeds planted. One is him with Rich Swann, because he's attacked Rich Swann, who retired last week. So the seeds are planted there for a match between him and him v Eddie Edwards for the World Championship. Seeds are planted for that match. Can't wait for either of them. Absolutely love Eric Young.
Beating him, people to prove with points to prove. Was it Kurt Hawkins? He had his first match last week. It was probably the longest match he's had in how long in his full career, know what I mean?
Aye, and obviously we're all used to seeing Kurt Hawkins lose. It's one of my favourite things about him is that he actively pushed for himself to no break his winning streak in WWE and then eventually did. But aye, his first match in Impact last night was for the World Championship against Eddie Edwards. Obviously lost, but it was one of the matches that I keep mentioning it with these open challenges. Eddie Edwards is the same Cody Rhodes with the TNT Championship. Reminds me of John Cena, where it doesn't matter if you lose the match, because if you're pushing one of them to the limits, you're probably going to make a name for yourself anyway in the match.
The thing is, well, I was thinking about that when you see the match with Kurt Hawkins and that as well. Obviously, as I said, it didn't actually look as if he had any, but obviously he wrestled. That's what I was going to say. In fact, he wrestled that full entire match and then he lost, but he came off looking strong. I'm happy with TNA. That they're no just getting all these WWE guys in and like making them win and all that and stuff like that. Because I think that was a big obvious thing in the past that used to do.
I'm assuming Kurt Hawkins is coming in as independent talent. He's not signed for Impact, has he?
I believe he has signed.
Oh, has he signed?
I believe he's. I don't know how long a deal is it, but I believe he has actually signed. They've done the full build with him. They've done vignettes over the past 3 weeks or something.
Oh, wow.
He didn't debut at Slammiversary. I mentioned this, put myself out again, but obviously when I put out the story about the Good Brothers signing, I'd heard that Heath Slater, Kurt Hawkins, and there was another person, and I'll say the name now because I don't think they've signed, but I'd heard that Mike Bennett was going to go back as well. Obviously, Maria Kanellis would have been part of that. I don't think they're going to be back unless it's just been delayed or something, but that was the names I'd heard. And weirdly, I thought Kurt Hawkins was the least likely, because I thought he'd have went with Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, to AEW. But he's went there, obviously former Impact talent. The nice wee thread there is that the last time he was in Impact, he pinned Eddie Edwards, who is the world champion, which is why the match made sense.
The GCW,
Global Force Wrestling was that. But good to see them back in it. Exactly what Davey said. They're not just putting them back in and going, right, former WWE guys, give them all the belts, give them all the airtime. They're actually using them to make their talent that have built Impact to where it is today look strong.
Go to some of the listeners' suggestions from buddies and putovers this week. Bronze Cello, our friend of the show, put over Dominic, taking it like a champ, excited for Retribution on SmackDown. Also putting over Orange Cassidy, the global warming expert. Did you see that spot? It was great. I loved that. The debate was fantastic. He's burying the awful food poisoning angle. It is literally shit. Depending on what the end comes out. This is the, obviously, Montez Ford. That's terrible. That is terrible.
I didn't like it, but I loved seeing Bianca Belair and Zelina Vega. So if it goes that match, I'm not going to throw any flags.
Yeah. Louise says, put over Rey Mysterio's son taking those candlesticks from Seth Rollins and Murphy. Randy Orton and Ric Flair's spot on Raw was amazing as well. Buddy the Fiend and Alexa and Braun Strowman promo in the ring. I didn't like that. I talked about it in the March. I just was all a bit weird and I didn't get it. It'll be interesting to see what happens at SummerSlam with that and what happens especially with Alexa, because it was just all a bit weird for me. John, he is burying Raw Underground, just a shite version of Fight Club. Can't argue with that.
What about Fight Club for... That the movie, I take it.
Aye. Don't worry, we're not stepping on ICW's.
I was thinking that was the Beatdown Clan at first there. Because obviously the MVP's we couldn't, you know what I mean? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. He's putting over Orton and McIntyre. The match at SummerSlam is going to be a belt, or WWE paying tribute to China with their own personalised IC belt. I've not seen
it. It's a wee replica belt. They've done it a few times where, you know, it's mainly like The Rock. They've done it with Stone Cold, Undertaker. They brought out the old Intercontinental title that China held, and it's got like the nameplate already like welded into it anyway, and it's got a few just wee bits and bobs. Looks really nice. It's one of these wee bad boys, but it's China version of it, when she held the Intercontinental title. Looks fantastic. Looks really nice.
Intercontinental Championship is actually my favourite one, to be fair. Not, I mean, that was the one I like.
Are you a belt guy, Davey?
There's some belts I like. Obviously, basically the Attitude Era ones and the ones just after that. I like all them because that was as wee guy, you know what I mean? But I do think the new ones are a bit OTT.
What's your favourite belt?
My favourite belt ever was the US spinner, the US title spinner belt. That was my
spinner favourite belt. I knew that would be it.
Yes, you know what I mean? John Cena was absolute peak top notch, man. Kicking about with that belt, no, I mean, I had the wee fake one, man, loving it, kicking about. Hanging, that was the top. I had my wee John Cena album and all that, brilliant, man. Oh, that was a bad
one. I can see you, cosplaying John Cena, Davey, I really can. At Nice to Wrestlers on Twitter says, put over Randy Orton for being on fire week after week. This is the best he's been in a long time. I would 100% agree with that. I think this is the best Randy Orton.
I would like to ask one thing. Why is everybody, when they've got a big feud, they're all battling Ric Flair? Not in the world, man. Let's just one person kicked his head in. Randy Orton kicked his head in. Batista was ragged on him, about like a wet track. You know what I mean? Absolutely fucking a poor old guy. Can we just leave Ric Flair now? He's had a few health scares. Let's stop battling the old man. I know they can't do anything after that. You know what I mean?
I forgot about the Batista one as well. I wasn't even that long ago. I forgot about that.
That's a new T-shirt. Stop bat. Davey says stop battering Ric Flair. That's our new T-shirt there.
I know he's the pure of absolute dawn in that, but come on, there's a tick.
Peter wants to. Nice Dressers want to bury Ruby Riott's theme song. Sounds like something from 90s Nickelodeon show.
I quite like it, but it's a wee bit, you know, tacky PG. Like WWE trying to be punk.
Punk, that's what it is. Peter saying, put over MGF for being the best thing on Dynamite week after week. I will not argue. I think MGF is a heel. Have you seen any much of his heel work, Davey?
I actually did really cool. He's one of the guys that actually try to keep wrestling in the olden days, not I mean to actually keep it.
Mate, he's stealing your look as well. I mean, you've got to get that. He's got the old Burgundy. He's got
the because that's the thing, see, but like, obviously, this is everybody always mixes this up. This isn't Burberry, this is Aquascoom. That's the thing that I've always noticed. Burberry's either right low end or right high end. You know what I mean? It's either really rich people, well, Burberry are really like scummy people. I'm Aquascoom, I'm middle end. You know what I mean?
Peter's buried Chris Jericho for prancing about like a Vince Neil impersonator at a biker rally with no masks or social distancing in the pandemic.
I was very tempted to put that as my bury until the thing happened, because that, and the best thing I seen about it, Smash Mouth played the same thing and somebody just retweeted it. I know an interviewer from Canada that I love called Spencer Love retweeted it with a caption, "Not the sharpest tools in the shed." That's brilliant.
Very good. Ryan said, putting over Oscar and Bailey from Raw, they're on another level. That was
what a match that was, by the way.
That was my match of the night. I just wanted to point that out.
That was my match of the night. There's a lot of, you can
the match with Andy Orton and Kevin Owens was good and all. I'd say that's a better story towards it, the way they were with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens got ruined it, but the actual match with Oscar and Bailey was just.
But from a wrestler's point of view, Davey, why was that match so good, do you reckon?
Just because the two of them are the game, you know what I mean? And they just, you can tell they've got so much chemistry and all that, you know what I mean? Like, even if they were dead and rang, they'd still be able to make it look perfect, you know what I mean? It's just stuff like that. It's just been that when people click that way, you know what I mean? And stuff like that, it's just the kind of game rang. You can just tell that. You can just tell by watching that.
Yeah. Well, Ryan's putting
The big story, the build they've gave Sasha and Bayley, not means amazing. It's amazing. I mean, one of the biggest two stars will go is woman, and 10 years ago that would never have been a thing. Nothing. So it is.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been carrying a lot of the shows. Ryan's putting over Oscar and Bayley, but he's burying Retribution because they just look like kids from the flats.
Sorry
about
that, fuck's sake, man.
I think Ravy Davy and the group of Neds that he had for the Grado match could take on Retribution. I think that'd be the faction v faction, there you go.
Aye. Retribution be Ravy Davy's crew, that is the young team.
We'd have better balaclavas, but...
you know the exact balaclavas to get, Davy. Stephen's burying Retribution, just looking like a bunch of wee Waynes. Go and set something on fire or do something or at least attack someone, Stephen says.
Set something on fire, fuck's sake. Florida man sets building on fire.
I mean, I thought what they did in SmackDown the week before, where they came in and destroyed everything quite Nexus with the chainsaws and battering people, I thought it was good. But then, like you were saying, on Raw on Monday night, Gary, they're throwing a brick through a window and running away.
And I keep mentioning the two bricks they threw one through and it was already, the wind had already been put in, which is a waste of a brick. But also the thing that I keep pulling back, the SmackDown thing was, it was brilliant. I really liked that angle. It started selling me on it. And then we went straight to 205 Live where everything was back to normal for what's meant to be a live show. So that was infuriating.
Darren's burying the AEW Women's Tag Tournament being on YouTube and not on Dynamite.
A lot of comments about that, aye.
Appreciation night, that's a strange
that
one.
That is a bit daft, isn't it? No, I mean, we've got WWE having two of the best. If it is a competition, right, we've got WWE having some of the best stories right now with women putting them at the tap, not I mean, actually showcasing them, and then they're having this tag tournament that's meant to be showcasing them, but they're just putting it on YouTube. I get maybe the idea because it's free to watch, so they can get more eyes on it, but still, it just seems like, oh, just go and watch this B tournament, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Scott finally putting over wee Dom, taking a beating like a champ, and he's burying Marty Jannetty, casually admitting to murder, whilst being racist and homophobic. Impressive stuff.
Well, the thing, see about the Marty Jannetty thing, but the thing I've noticed straight away, right, it's obviously a lie, right, because he goes like that. I never told my brother because he'd kill him, but the guy's a partner of the deed.
Aye.
If you want more from Wrestling Daft, you can do that. You can get us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We have loads of extra content up there. Obviously, Davey said at the start of the show, it is pandemic. But if you've got a bit of money spare and you fancy extra content from us, we can provide that on our Patreon service. Tier 1, you is a cruiserweight. You'll get that $4 a month. Patreon-only chat community, ad-free versions of all episodes. Early access to all the episodes, you get random bonus content, a video version of the Mark Show, and you get to vote on what you want to see featured on the list of Wrestling Daft, which we'll have later on in the show. Tier 2, an IC champion, it's $10 a month, everything in Tier 1, plus a video version of this podcast each week. You'll get a bonus episode once a month. We've just done Rab on Wrestling, where he talks about his time in the business, talks about Kelvin Brawl. Do you remember Kelvin Brawl, Davey?
Yeah, that was just before my time, but that was kind of what kick-started me wanting to get into it. No, I mean, really? I'd start to see all that stuff with Kelvin Brawl, the documentaries and all that, and I was like, right, I could do that, no, I mean, if people care about doing this, I can get into it, no, I mean, I'm mad enough to do something like this.
Aye, well, Rab talks about Kelvin Brawl and Orin War, which came before it, which apparently had one of the best matches in Scottish wrestling ever when Lionheart took on Noam Dar. Have you heard of that?
Aye, I've heard about that one. I've seen that match, and that's Lionheart used to talk about it all the time, you know what I mean? Training and that.
Yeah. So that you hear Rab talk about all that. And next week, we're going to give you another bonus episode as we do part two of the Grado story, It's Yourself, and this will be entering, we've got to the point where he's entered the ICW ring, and we're going to walk out from ICW ring all the stardom that came in between right up to him entering TNA. So that'll be part two. We'll be doing that next week.
You can also magician.
I will ask him about being a magician and all. You can also join our pay-per-view parties. We'll be doing one for SummerSlam very soon. Tier 3 is World Heavyweight Champion, $20 a month. Everything that I've just talked about. Plus, you get a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt of your choice. Had to sign up for them 3 months before that. And you get to come on this show as one of our marks or in the running, which we're going to do a bit later on. So if you fancy any of that, get involved right now. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We'd love to welcome you to the roster. It's at this point in the show where we load up the Wrestling DeLorean with plutonium and head back to the past as we look at pay-per-view from days gone by. And this week, in Rab and Grado's absence, we have another special guest to be our Doc Brown from Cultaholic. Yes, other wrestling podcasts do exist. He is presenter of the Daily Podcast, among many other things. It's Tom Campbell.
I like to think that we load up the DeLorean with Gastrol GTX, drive hard. It seems appropriate for a retro wrestling feature.
Absolutely. Tom, thanks for coming on, mate. I've been desperate to get you on this show for ages because it's good to see you. You've come from a very different, same journey as me, where you've been in radio and now evolved into a wrestling journalist. How's it been for you?
Well, it's been, do you know what? It's been a weird old time. It's funny, the first time first time we met, John, was in another life where you guys from Heart Scotland came to the northeast of England. You were doing a show from our studios for the day. And obviously, to celebrate going out and doing a breakfast show in the local area, you have to go out and drink a lot the night before. Yeah. So that's what we did. And it was kind of there where we went, wow, wrestling friends. Did we just become best friends? I think we just became best friends. But you know what? It's been a fun transition. It was roughly a year ago that the radio journey with in my previous life came to an end, and it just happened that I was already doing some bits and pieces with Cultaholic as it was, and it just so happened that at the time when I was finishing up my old radio job, they were looking for somebody full-time in the office at Cultaholic, and it just the stars aligned quite nicely, and they said, we want to do more audio stuff. I said, well, look, I can probably help you with that a little bit, and do some stuff on camera as well. So it's been an adventure, and this year I think for everybody has been a bit of an adventure. We've not long got back to the office at work, so this is the first time I've been in my spare room / the office for just over a week. I have to apologise, because in typical spare room working from home style, I have company.
It's all right, Davies's back garden. We've got kids running about and everything.
I thought that was just a really good virtual background. There's not that much sun in Scotland. It can't be real.
This is sunny Govan, mate. Never rains out here.
Of course.
So, Tom, thanks. We're going to get you on. We're going to get your retro review recommendation in a minute. But first, we've set your homework from last week. So we had Radio's Gary Spence. You'll know him, Tommy.
I know Gary. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's great. He was on last week, and he is of a vintage where he basically has a specialist subject of wrestling from 1985 to 1995 WWF. So he recommended that we should be watching WrestleMania 6 last week, okay?
Oh, nice! That was the first WrestleMania I ever watched.
The Ultimate Challenge, of course. We put this out to the listeners. A few people have done their homework. Gary, I'm guessing you've been up to your eyes doing other wrestling stuff, so you've not seen it.
Aye, but I did actually recall quite a lot of the matches anyway when we were talking about it last week, so aye, but I've definitely not watched it in the past week. That's the one thing I can say.
Yeah, no. Davey, do you remember WrestleMania 6?
Aye, I saw it with Warrior and Hulk Hogan, that in it, and then the one with Roddy Piper done the...
Yes, the one that Roddy Piper did. Absolutely. That hasn't aged well. And then,
Brendan Barrier's not been having the first ever black woman wrestler at WrestleMania. We might not be, but I'm sure it was. Not mean, and then they go and do that. Not mean, kind of...
I read a shoot interview with Roddy, and it apparently wasn't meant to come. Roddy's apparently not that way inclined at all, but it wasn't meant to come over that way. It was meant to be a kind of Nelson Mandela, Cyndi Lauper, True Colors thing, but I don't think it worked for him, to be honest with you.
Not the way it came across, sadly.
No, it didn't come across that way. General disappointment on Twitter said that pay-per-view has not aged well at all. Yep, I think I agree with that. Alan says, Hogan kicked out at 3.5. Guy just can't do a proper job, always has to give himself that out.
Well, I've got a bonus. This. See when I first started... training, mate, obviously, I end up getting pinned one day. The first time I've ever taken a pin, right? The guys beat us 1, 2, 3, and I went, oh, right at the end. Know what I mean? After the freeze happened, like, why have you done that? I'm like, I don't know. I suppose I've woke up after it and I'm like, just trying to hang me. Like, no, mate, you need to stay done. That's what I'm thinking. No, because I'd never really cottoned onto that. I'd seen it like, once or twice at WrestleMania. I was married into like, the Ultimate Warrior actually went, so I'd never like, engrossed in that. So I'd never actually picked up in that moment, and then I'd thought up myself, but like, oh, that's a pure cool thing to do, but like, no, you're burying your opponent if you do that.
Are you? The Ravy Davey over like Hogan. Won't be pinned. Ben said he...
Suppose that's what everybody thinks when they start out. They've got to be Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold or something.
Ben said, I had this on the WWE Anthology DVDs. Great pay-per-view, especially Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire coming out to Wheel of Fortune. Now, if you look up on the network... they've dubbed over Common Man. Dusty Rhodes' entrance is Common Man, obviously, right? And he comes out to that. And they've done that in the network. If you dig into the YouTube world, however, Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire come out to the Wheel of Fortune theme tune, as in Nikki Campbell and Jenny Powell.
It's true, actually. Yeah, now you say that, you're right, they do.
Which is bizarre. Really, really bizarre.
Odd moment.
That is mental. Obviously, I take the most of the rights for it. That's how they've had to...
Double your treatment.
I don't know why Dusty Rhodes would come out to the Wheel of Fortune thinking, but it's brilliant. I went and dug this out on YouTube. It is available. We'll put it up on our Twitter so you can see that later on. So that was WrestleMania 6. Tom, what is our homework for next week?
Homework I'm going to set for you guys is a bit of a way away from that. An event that actually, had it been the WrestleMania of this year, it wouldn't have been a bad thing. I'm going to give you guys Backlash 2000.
Ooh. Now it's going to be Triple H with Vince in his corner and The Rock with Austin 360.
Backlash.
Stone Cold is going to backlash.
The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, Vince McMahon. The odds are even. The Rattlesnake is back. Will we have a new WWF champion? WWF Backlash, Sunday, April 30th, exclusively on pay-per-view.
So, WrestleMania 16 was a bit of a damp squib as a WrestleMania. It was kind of that time where they'd started treating WrestleMania as a big event, and it was, and they'd started sort of talking about the pageantry of it all. And unfortunately, the year they started doing that, it was just a very average show, with the exception of that triangle ladder match for the tag team titles. But 4 weeks later or so, we had WWF Backlash, which, had that been WrestleMania, would have been absolutely mind-blowing. One of the better B pay-per-views, I think, of that decade. So it's on that show. I've had to pull up the card to remember, because a lot of it is sleeper matches of greatness. Things like Big Show and Kurt Angle have a really fun comedy match on there, which I think that's the night where we met the Showster. And it was at a point where Hogan was still doing his thing in WCW. And so to see it so blatantly mic-taken on WWF programming was really quite bizarre. Dean Malenko and Scotty Too Hotty have a match for the Light Heavyweight Championship on that show. And the Light Heavyweight Championship was that belt that was just very much pushed to the one side. And then all of a sudden, like, they had no right to do it, but Scotty Too Hotty and Dean Malenko just have an amazing series of matches for the Light Heavyweight Championship. And one of those matches is on this card here. If you want some garbage wrestling, you've got a six-man hardcore match for the Hardcore Championship. It's like a free-for-all type affair, very similar to the Hardcore Battle Royal they had at WrestleMania, but I would argue with a little bit more form to it. We had Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit going one-on-one with whilst the finish wasn't perfect, like, the match showed that here's two guys who are going to very much lead the way in the industry, and that's a really fun match to watch as well. We see Trish Stratus go through a table on this show. Now, it's something that doesn't particularly age well, an entire crowd that pops every time a woman gets manhandled. It's not particularly special in that regard, but it's a story that has a beginning and it pays off, and they pay it off wonderfully in there. Eddie Guerrero and S.A. Rios, which doesn't sound like an amazing match on paper. Well, it does, because Eddie's involved. But a European title match, that's actually really good fun. But the pinnacle of that show is that main event. It is the match that should have headlined WrestleMania 16. It is The Rock Triple H one-on-one for the WWF Championship. It sees the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin for the first time since November of last year. And the crowd were apoplectic when Steve Austin made an appearance at the end of the match, even though he didn't look particularly great. It was just nice to see him again. But the match was beyond anything that they put together at WrestleMania, one-on-one between Rock and Triple H. So Backlash 2000, that kind of gives you a bit of a taste for it. Like, if you're going to watch any show this week, highly recommend watching that one.
Yeah, I mean, that is a stacked card when you look at it, you know.
Because there's a few sleeper matches in there, stuff that you wouldn't think and in a traditional time wouldn't make it onto pay-per-view. Eddie Guerrero, S.A. Rios, sounds like it would be a TV match, but there was a story in there as well. It was the night of Eddie Guerrero's prom, so you had a little story that ran through there that was quite cute, and it was S.A. Rios in his highest position ever. It was introducing us to Lita, who was making a debut through S.A. Rios at that point as well. There's a few sleeper matches in there, but as you say, stacked.
Yeah, oddly, when you mentioned that pay-per-view, I know that obviously the first thing that comes to mind is The Rock v Triple H, but the two matches I remembered was Eddie Guerrero, S.A. Rios, and the six-man hardcore match, because I love Taz. So that was the two matches I remembered instantly.
it was about 2 weeks after that amazing point in time. 2000 was amazing. And we look, I know it's easy to look back on stuff with rose-tinted glasses, but two decades ago, it just felt like the stars were really aligning in wrestling. And it was just off Taz's coolest time in the WWF, Gary, as you'll remember, which is where he'd won the ECW championship as a WWF employee. Incidentally, I'd read recently about that. One of the possible rumored plans was either going to be, apparently, allegedly, rumor and innuendo, it was either going to be Taz defending the ECW title against Triple H. Or no, so Taz as ECW champion facing Triple H, which is what we saw. The other plan, rumoured, was that Mike Awesome was going to turn up in on SmackDown and lose in 3 championship matches.
Really?
That was another rumor and innuendo that was reported in the Observer at that point, was that Mike Awesome owed Paul one, and one of the rumors was that Awesome was going to turn up and just get thrashed by 3 champions in quick order on SmackDown.
Who did you have for Taz, Triple H, and then a Cornell champion at the time, I guess?
Well, Triple H was the WWF champion at that point. Taz was the ECW champ. And it was just that they had a promo before it, and it was just, this is cool. Like, this is the ECW champ and the WWF champ trading bumps. And it was a couple of weeks after that where we had that hardcore match where Taz shone, as Gary said. But it was a cool time for Taz, the WWF. One of the very few cool times that he really had.
Tom, that's brilliant. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I do not remember Dean Malenko versus Scotty Too Hotty, but that does sound interesting to me.
Again, they had no right to make the light heavyweight championship so important, but they had Malenko turning up as part of the Radicals. Like, you got the vibe. They didn't quite know what they were doing with them.
No.
It was like just for Christmas, and you bought all your Christmas presents, and then somebody pulls up with a Lamborghini and says, "That's yours." It's like, "Oh, well, I don't know what this is, great, but I have no idea what to do with this. I haven't factored this in." So they made use of all the lads, and Malenko with that light heavyweight championship, oh, I just suited him. And then when Scotty turned up and they went back and forth with the belt, it's like, how is this so good? But then the light heavyweight championship would sort of fall back under the mat again. But for a brief shining moment, it was a belt that was very crucially defended on pay-per-view.
Nice. Well, Backlash 2000, that is your homework for next week. Tom, where can we get you? Plug all your stuff.
At Tom Campbell on Twitter. There's apparently an American senator who's after that Twitter handle, so don't message me about American reform. I ain't got a Scooby-Doo. So at Tom Campbell on Twitter. I'm doing stuff on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheTomCampbell. Or at Cultaholic. I have to plug the boys. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere you get social media, find us on there. Subscribe to the Cultaholic podcast feed, daily news podcast, as well as wrestling specials, interviews with some of the lads, retro reviews and all that stuff. Search Cultaholic wherever you get your podcasts from.
If you are going to listen to another wrestling podcast, listen to Tom.
Oh, you!
Stop it!
Stop it, Gary! Stop it!
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just made the list!
So every week we ask for you guys to vote on our list of wrestling daft. This week marks 21 years since Chris Jericho debuted in the WWE, so that was one of the best debuts ever. So we put that up, best debuts up against the best moments from Chris Jericho in WWE, and it was the best debuts that won it. However, thank you very much to Bobby Carmichael, who also pointed out we've actually done this before on episode 18. No. But never mind, my bad. We'll continue with the best debuts ever, because nobody else pointed it out. So we'll get your ones first, Davey. What are your favourite debuts?
A couple of my favourite debuts was... we've got two for Kurt Angle, obviously, but he's no debuted two of the times. But the Kurt Angle one with Taz debuted against him, came out, choked him out, beat his undefeated streak and that at Royal Rumble 2000, was it? And Kurt Angle, when he debuted in TNA, when he comes out, man, it's all him and Samoa Joe face-to-face, ready to go for it, ends up sticking it up. No, I'm not even pure, the two of them just start brawling. That's class, man. That one was brilliant. Then I don't know if is it Kalito who debuted then won the Intercontinental title in that?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I'm sure it was the US title, maybe. He debuted against John Cena and he beat him for it.
Kalito definitely debuted against John Cena.
He won the US title.
There you go. You're fitting in amongst us, Marks. You're out marking us here, David.
Well, he didn't have anyone. I remember being a wee guy, and that was at my kind of rebellious stage, not me, where I'm starting to know, obviously, I'm starting to like all the bad guys and that. And he came out and he's spitting in people's face, thought, won a title on his first night. I was like, that guy is an absolute G, man. That's actually what I'd like to wrestle with anybody is Kalito.
Really?
the one that's possible, the ones that look possible, you know what I mean? Yeah, obviously, like Shawn Michaels and stuff like that, but Khalil's probably possible because he actually still wrestles and that still does stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, MVP was one as well, but I don't think he's possible maybe on being in WWE and that, you know what I mean? So, him or RVD would be the two I'd like to do, you know what I mean?
But it could happen, mate. It could happen. I could just imagine you kicking about Govan with your apple as well.
I know, these guys just spit me an apple, you know what I mean? I've got just a wee like, ashtray full of dudes.
Gary, then, what is your top three? What are your top three?
Oh, because I had my top one. My top one would be obviously John Cena coming out and slapping Kurt Angle. It's all three of them, actually. they're all intertwined anyway, you know what I mean? The one where he comes out and slaps John Cena, you know what I mean? Slaps Kurt Angle. That's amazing, you know what I mean? Never heard of the guy, obviously, you know what I mean? It was when the internet was starting to kick off, so I'd heard that, obviously, hit bits and balls with John Cena, but never actually seen him. Then obviously comes out and does that, man. It was class.
Ruthless aggression. Gary, what's your top three?
So I'm gonna cheat and mention a couple that are all falling into the same category as to why I'm no picking them, and then I'll give you my top three. So obviously I knew Chris Jericho was out the window because he is the full reason we're doing it. Otherwise he would have been in the top three for me. But the ones that came to mind that I decided to disqualify was because they were factions. The Shield, Nexus, the Radicals, and NWO were all brilliant, but I've just wrote them off because it's more than one person. At number three for me might be a surprising one. Royal Rumble, AJ Styles.
Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my gosh!
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE!
The way Roman Reigns sold it, with the kind of who's this guy, and then obviously seeing who it was, and I think Roman Reigns sold it brilliantly. We all kind of knew AJ Styles was coming to WWE at some point at that point, but I don't think anybody knew it was going to happen that night at the Royal Rumble, and I thought that was absolutely fantastic. So for me, definitely AJ Styles is in at number three. Number two, I was torn between what I was putting in first and second place, but number two for me has to be, and this probably should be number one if I wasn't a mark for the person that's going in at number one. Number two is the debut of Kane.
Oh my God, wait a minute. It's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
For me, one of the best debuts of all time, just because of the story that had been built beforehand, and then we finally see Kane. And for me, I still think one of the best characters in wrestling history. And I will stand by that. He should have definitely had more and better title runs. But I just absolutely loved Kane's debut. And number one, I know that it's a decent choice because Ravy Davey had it in his selection. Taz, Madison Square Garden, coming in and choking out Kurt Angle.
His opponent from the Redwood section of Brooklyn.
Of the undefeated Kurt Angle.
Even just the kind of that sound effect that I think they use for Tommaso Ciampa now. I keep saying that my favourite things in wrestling is when they do like a mysterious build and then the build pays off. The only time they've done it recently and done it well was in terms of debuts, was Asuka. They had the face flashing up before she came up for NXT. The other time was Chris Jericho, and then this time with Taz. I remember that the orange tribal design coming up with the 13 the weeks beforehand, and then the lights go out and the Kurt Angle thing. Obviously, Taz being for, you know, Red Hook, Brooklyn, New York, and that being Madison Square Garden, everybody being big ECW fans there as well because of Taz being for New York. Everything was perfect for it, and I just think that debut for me, probably the greatest debut of all time. So that would have even edged out Chris Jericho for me. That's how much I loved it.
Wow, yeah. No,
I mean, just because after it, obviously, they bought it so high for it, they could have went all sorts of places with it, and then they just kind of dipped, you know what I mean?
They completely shat the bed with Taz after that. I think expecting world champion Taz within a year and everything, and then they just...
I think would have been good, you know what I mean, man?
Aye.
On the hardcore division and let him fucking battle Crash Holly and Hardcore Holly.
He was good on comms, though. He was good on comms.
They wrote it off after a day by Dane the Fall. You know, he choked at Kurt Angle, and then they're like, oh, it was an illegal choke. Come on, just let him have the win. They beat undefeated Kurt Angle.
It was a shitty finish the way they did it. Some of the listeners, Scott, it's still Jericho for me, but Kane's was class. remember watching that as a six-year-old and absolutely shiting myself. Tommy says Paige's debut was really good. Yeah, that was the night after WrestleMania, wasn't it? And she took the title from AJ.
Won the title, aye.
That was incredible. Taz is a great shout, says Kieran. Loved that when they spotlighted him instead of just having him enter the Rumble. One of the biggest MSG pops of all time. You and Kevin Owens NXT and Raw debut against Cena were both cracking. Kevin Owens was a great debut, actually. That US Open title, that was really, really good. Sting at Survivor Series, that's a bit of a hidden one there.
Aye, I love everything Sting did in WWE. I know that obviously it didn't work out the way we wanted, but even the statue reveal with the Seth Rollins thing, I know it wasn't his debut, but that for me was brilliant.
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't really like your debut. The debut was a bit wasted, I felt. I mean, just it comes out at the end and then...
Aye.
Yeah.
Goes and beats.
That was Dean that said that one. Keith says it's got to be DDP's debut in WWE. Coming out on the motorbike to Undertaker's music, wearing the balaclava, like the diamond cutter, no one's seen it coming. Shame the guy ended up getting buried along the way by the Undertaker.
The storyline was probably my least favourite storyline ever. You've got DDP, don't make him a stalker. It was just...
I didn't like... I don't like, you know, they'd wasted... Again, that was another wasted opportunity from WWE. They don't normally do that.
That run about that time, but when he comes out and he hits the... invasion. No, in fact, he just had the singles match with Buff Bagwell first, didn't he? That was a bit.
Yeah.
I never actually seen that, but I just seen the cool bit after. So in my memory, that was his debut.
Remember, Paul says, remember when WWF used to produce the amazing vignettes? You know, those teasers weeks before, seeing them on TV or pay per view, thinking Mr. Perfect, Razor Ramon, Jeff Jarrett, Edge and Mankind, to name a few.
A recent one would be Karrion Kross.
His debut
was fantastic.
Yeah, with all the kind of ravens and all that.
Aye,
kind of
and the vignettes as well before that. That was one of the ones that went back to the old school where they built it up really well, and then his debut, they gave him the full production, the full whack there, so that's definitely up there.
Aye, Paul's also said one-man gang being reborn into a Akeem in a back alley with a bin on fire. Oh. Classic 88 WWE. Don't check that out on YouTube. Hasn't aged well either. Raymond, finally, says, my first day of primary school in 1985, I was walked in pure swaggering. I was like, yes, man, that's my seat. So it's a new part of the show where we invite the listeners to come in to do a run-in. You get to come on, ask what you want, and then get the hell out of Dodge. And this week, we've got the one and only Chris Jack, but has actually got a ring name, Kirk Cooper. How you doing, Chris stroke Kirk?
I'm not bad at all, John. Thanks for having me on. It's been a goal of mine to get onto Wrestling Daft since you started out back last year. So, you know, absolutely buzzing to be on. Absolutely buzzing to be on a podcast that people listen to as well.
Just apart from the fact that we've got Ravy Davey here, obviously present company excluded, you've just chose a bad week to be on, because instead of talking to Robin Grado, you get John and Gary.
No, I'm just happy to be talking to anybody about wrestling, you know, doing what I do over here in Northern Ireland. It's quite hard to get a hold of, you know, top-end guys, top-level wrestling guys to speak to. So, you know, with three lads like yourselves, more than happy to be on to have a wee bit of chat with you.
Where is it you train that on the island? Obviously, you've had a bit of madness there, haven't you?
Yeah, so I have been training with Titanic Wrestling for the last... Well, they started up in May last year. Formerly, I was with Pro Wrestling All-Star, PWU, who'd gotten there. I'd started training with them back in 2018. And then the show that I debuted on with them turned out to be the last ever show. I'm a promotion killer as well as and then since over the last couple of weeks, I think it was the end of July, when the gym's opened up back over here, we've been able to get back into training, and it's been class. It's been so good getting back into the way of things, and you know, taking those first few bumps back was absolutely brutal, but it was amazing at the same time. It was just so good to get back in with a group of guys and start running the ropes again.
There's one thing, you know, before we get into your question on the running, Kirk, is you have worked with Bingo Balance.
I have worked with Bingo Balance. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I know you guys usually ask about, like, credentials and stuff, and to be honest, wrestling credentials, I've got them falling out my arse, but I think the biggest one is, you know, I've been involved with Bingo. I had no idea there was such a cult following for them.
But
I've only worked with them a couple of times. The first time I worked with them, was in a chapel. I was in a chapel in Banbridge. and it was my first stint as being a manager for one of my mates, Lewis Alexander. And we were doing this multi-man match, like the promotion we were working for. He is mad for, you know, multi-man matches and weird stipulations and stuff. So I came out as the manager, but there was this like pensioner woman in the crowd, and she'd been effing and jeffing like the whole way through the show. Like the promoter had to get on the mic and say, "Look, if you don't like stop the swearing, this is a family show. We'll need to huckle you out of the chapel," kind of thing. and she ended up attacking me. She ended up attacking me like mid-match. So I was, you know, helping my mate Lewis out, being a wee bit of a distraction. She comes and she tugs me off the side of the ring. Like at the time, because it was a multi-man match and there was loads of folk round about, I had no idea if it was one of the other guys that was supposed to be in the match. So I'm like kicking out at this pensioner that's, you know, like swearing at me and stuff. And at that point, like she actually stopped me from having a bit of a spot with Bingo. So I like it totally like ruined that bit of the match, and then it ended.
Your pure anxiety,
that's what I mean. You know, I think there was maybe only about 25 folk at the show, but it was my first time working for that promotion in front of that crowd.
I get it, man. It would be brutal.
it was something to make a debut, not just alongside the. The immortal Bingo Balance, but the fact that I near enough kicked a pensioner in the curtain.
Brilliant. Well, you can maybe put a good word in for Bingo. We can maybe make the dream come true of getting him on this show.
Fingers crossed.
Kirk, it's the running. What you want to ask us?
So, my question really was, you know, because we've been back at training over here at Titanic for the last couple of weeks, we still don't know what shows are going to look like. Once we're able to get them back up and running. So taking into account, you know, the effect that COVID's had on local wrestling here and obviously over in Scotland and the rest of that wrestling, and with the spectre of speaking out still hanging quite largely over it, how do you guys see, you know, wrestling locally returning, and in what form? How do you guys see that that's going to work, and how are we, you know, what's going to be the best way to get crowds back and wrestlers back to, albeit ultimately, a safe environment.
I've got a dream scenario. I've got a dream scenario that will never happen in Scotland. I don't know if anybody caught a show that was on last week. There's been photos of it floating about called Warrior Wrestling in Chicago.
Yeah,
and they hired out a massive American football pitch and had everybody socially distanced. And there's like, they've took drone footage of it and it looks absolutely fantastic. Only thing is here, the weather probably doesn't permit that happening.
that is probably the biggest kicker, because I think like, there was talk, like we'd spoken, you know, one of the first sessions back about, you know, about maybe doing like a cinematic thing or like an outdoor show to announce that they were coming back, but it's just such a difficult thing to judge how you can do it, because like the weather's so changeable over here. Outdoor shows, you know, it's hit or miss whether you get folk to come along to them as well because of that. So it's a tough way of looking at it.
I've also, one of my last wrestling shows I attended was in Govan, Source Wrestling, and I've seen how over Ravy Davey is at Source Wrestling, so I don't know how you socially distance for the Wains jumping on Ravy Davey and getting involved there.
I don't know what's happening with that, obviously. The guys from the Fairfield have actually said to me, you know what I mean, that they're not working with the mob that we're working with because what happened, because obviously the accusations and that. So obviously, with that, it will need to be something completely different anyway. But I don't know, man, because I think wrestling will be the last thing to come back, because we're not getting into training or going to the gyms or anything like that until September, you know what I mean? And then they'll just try in Scotland, which fair enough, you know what I mean? Obviously, they're trying to keep it safe, and I think we're doing everything a wee bit slower than everybody else. So I can't see us wrestling until probably next year, the earliest, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe there might be stuff like. The thing I would love to do, right, this is my idea. Did you ever see DDT? They go and do all these batshit crazy stuff like wrestling and swimming pools and all that stuff like that. You know how Loudon Castle? Mate, honestly, I would definitely be. I would climb up the top of the mousetrap, man, jump half it. Maybe we'll jump half it, but I'd jump half it halfway. I mean, something like that. Honestly, that's the stuff that I would like to do, man. Just like, cinematic, crazy stuff that you can put on YouTube. Something different so that you can get the views. Because obviously, we'd be able to wrestle and do stuff like that because of the laws are like drink. Put it this way, if you can get 50 people in a pub, you should be allowed to get two guys doing last cinematic wrestling event or something like that. So I think maybe that should be the way it goes until we find out more out here. Maybe do stuff outside the box. Because I can't even, out here, I can't see them letting men sweat each other, air each arm, fling each other about until.
That's why, man, you need somebody dressed up as the old mascot, that old daft lion, and either they unmask and put somebody's head in or you put their head in, that'd be absolutely brilliant.
I think outside the boat, stuff like that, I mean, because I don't think they're going to let you set up a wrestling anytime soon, have fans in and stuff like that, so you need to do something, like talking short of mania, look how good that went after. Something that's different, like, something that'll have a buzz that people will pay for, not I mean, that will actually be legal and you'll not get the jail for maybe.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kirk. Did you get the answer you're looking for?
Oh, yeah, definitely. As at Titanic, we're still trying to come up with ways of making sure we can get ourselves back out there in the best way possible. It's going to be safest for the fans and the performers and everything like that. Even with training just now, you know, we're doing stuff that schools should be doing anyway in terms of, you know, cleanliness, hygiene, all that sort of stuff, but we've obviously got that bigger emphasis on it now in terms of, you know, cleaning up the gym after this, not just leaving the cans of Monster lying like we normally would. But it's, you know, it's exciting just to be like back in the ring. The social aspect of it as well. I mean, you know, we've got guys that haven't socialised with anybody for the last 4.5 months, and then it's hard enough, you'll know yourself, Davey, it's hard enough to get a conversation with somebody when you're putting them in the bars or trying to slam them. You know, so you're trying to get all that crammed into your wee 2 hour sessions and stuff. So,
oh, no, definitely. I mean, I get what you're talking about. It's even me as well. If I don't, my got to wrestling is where I actually get my wrestling fixed. You know what I mean? Because my pals, no, they don't like wrestling at all. Know what I mean? They like getting drunk and playing football and stuff like that. Know what I mean? So, they don't really. If I start talking to them about wrestling, they'll just start telling them an idiot. Know what I mean? Stuff like that.
I've all been there.
When I get my wrestling fixed and all that, know what I mean? So I did get that. The social aspect of it. There's probably a lot of guys that like, train at, obviously, wrestling is the only time they get out and seen with people.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, I'm a guy in my mid-30s that's got a 4-year-old daughter, so socialising is not really in the cards for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting up to the yard maybe once or twice a week, that is my social life.
Well, Kirk, I hope it all works out, and good luck with Titanic, and hope we can get a show on or in some way or shape or form. The cinematic idea, I think, would be great, especially if you can make it happen at Loudon Castle with Davey and Paul dressed as a lion. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Well, sure. Our training centre is just off the... It's between the falls and the Shankill, so I'm sure that we could get some sort of, you know, some sort of stuff going on up there in Belfast.
That'd be good.
I would love to obviously come out of Belfast and that and stuff like that and wrestle, man, but obviously I don't like my Celtic singlet would go up.
Ultimate heel.
Ultimate heel in Belfast, bro. Kirk, thanks very much, and that's it for this week's run-in.
No worries, cheers, fellas. Thanks for having me.
So, more big interviews brought to you by Gary Cassidy. Obviously, him working for Sportskeeda does help us out on this podcast because he gets lots of big interviews. And this week, we've got another one. And Alex will be gutted he's not here because we've got one of Japan's finest, Tama Tonga.
Aye, so oddly, I've been interviewing for about 2 years, 2.5 years now. This is the first active New Japan talent I've ever interviewed. But absolutely brilliant. I got in touch with him because I absolutely love his podcast, Tama's Island. But the list goes on. Everybody knows, you know, Tama Tonga, you get the stuff that we've seen on Twitter with him and Roman Reigns having the wee back and forth, which I asked him about, of course. But apart from that, 6-time IWGP Tag Team Champion. He's the adoptive son of Haku as well.
Is he really? I did not know that.
I think real life uncle, but adoptive son.
Did he do that? I don't know. Is he adopted?
Aye. So that, I mean, impressive guy just for that, and obviously we all know about what he's done in Japan. He's one of the, if nobody knows about New Japan Wrestling, he's still one of the names that most people know anyway. OG of the Bullet Club, one of the founding members of the Bullet Club, which everybody knows how many hundreds and hundreds of members have been in the Bullet Club. So it was just brilliant to chat to him about that, about New Japan, about, you know, the stuff with Roman Reigns, about the Good Brothers, and my favourite part of the interview, because we always like a wee TNA mention here, is that the Good Brothers had told me a couple of days before that they are actively pushing for Impact and New Japan to work together. So I asked him about that as well, and he was all for it, which is something that maybe people didn't expect for a New Japan talent.
Yeah, and here he is on Wrestling Daft. It's Tama Tonga.
Hey everyone, it's Gary Cassidy here from Sportskeeda Wrestling, and as you just heard, and as you can see, I'm joined by a man who, well, it doesn't need any introduction anyway, but it's rude not to give someone one. Six-time IWGP Tag Team Champion, son of the legendary Haku, one half of G.O.D., one of, and this I think is something that you can't understate, one of the Bullet Club OGs. If you think of how many people have been in the Bullet Club, to be one of the OGs is no mean feat. It is the bad guy, or the good bad guy, it's Tama Tonga. How's it going, Tama?
Gary, thank you very much for having me. I'm doing very, very well. What a nice introduction you gave me there, man. All right. That's
I'm just bringing you up before I bring you right down and interview and hit you with all sorts, man. That's the way we do it here. So, yeah, first thing, you know, I asked how's it going. It seems like you're doing fine. The world right now is a little bit of a mess. We can see what's behind you. I know you've been busy starting your own podcast, Tama's Island. But what's your current situation? Let's start with, what continent are you on? And, you know, how are you doing in this pandemic?
Oh, yes. Tama's Island podcast started because of this pandemic here, residing in the United States, East Coast, down in Florida. I've had a lot of time on my hand, Gary. A lot of time, you know, no international travel right now, and we're keeping everywhere. So I'm trying to fill in my free space here, trying to stay busy, keep my mind focused on our product, and it's been going very well, man.
Excellent. Well, that's the one thing that I love it when, you know, my life is made easy and I can be really lazy. We really don't need to go through any of your career, because Tama's Island starts at the very start and covers everything. The thing that I always like to give people a hook, I know that you don't need a hook to listen to something, you know, that's got Tama Tonga hosting it anyway. But for me, the very first episode, I was hooked. For a start, you had Carl Anderson as the guest. But the one story that I love that people need to go and check out if you haven't already heard it is Tama Tonga in the Bullet Club t-shirts, the counterfeit Bullet Club t-shirt that you were selling. That is one of my favourite wrestling stories of all time. Absolutely love it. But yeah, how have you found the podcasting thing? I think you're 9 or 10 episodes deep now. Are you enjoying it? Is that a nice escape from wrestling? Or
it's nice, man. It's very nice, because I have Ross Berman there co-hosting, and he's able to come up with questions that that a lot of the fans have questions about. Like fill in the blanks and gaps between Bullet Club timeline. I'm able to answer a lot of questions that the fans are very interested in knowing, and just never thought, and even some that never thought about, you know. So it's been fun. That's what I'm looking for. It's fun. If it's not fun, I ain't doing it, man. But it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's the thing that you mentioned there, and this was something that was echoed by a guy we just mentioned, Carl Anderson. So the Good Brothers obviously just done their big, you know, blowout interview after their recent, their release, but their 90-day compete clause ending, and they said they needed Ryan Satin there to keep it under control. I think that's very much what Ross does with you.
Yes.
Along the way, make sure that you get the answers that he wants to get out of you. So it's a really cool situation.
That's right, man.
We mentioned there Carl Anderson and the Good Brothers, you know, two guys that you know very, very, very well. Interviewed them a couple of days ago, and they said that as soon as the world is open again, they cannot wait to get back to New Japan. So for me, it's, you know, it's the kind of thing that I'm like, well, we know why they can't get to Japan right now. We know why you can't get to Japan right now. Mm-hmm. But when you guys are all back there, are you just all going to be back together and working as one big happy family?
Oh, of course, man. Of course. That's... See, now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, man. I feel like it's all been planned. I had this planned out with Carl Anderson 5 years ago, man. It was supposed to be only 3 years, but, you know, it kind of extended to 5 years. But that's family, man. Once you're Bullet Club, you're Bullet Club for life, you know. So, especially the originals, man. And so, I'm looking forward to having the brothers come out to Japan, and we can, you know, rock and roll again.
And I need to ask, what do you think of the stuff they've been doing recently? You know, they left WWE 90 days ago, having had the last match. I know that they were only part of it, but your last match is with Undertaker. You leave 90 days later, join Impact Wrestling. They get the eyes of the world on Impact. They're doing their own talking shop of Mania stuff. What do you think about what they're doing right now?
I freaking love it, man. I love it. This is the real deal Holyfield that what they're doing. I love it that they're able to come off that such a platform and still rock and roll and still keep moving forward and upward. So, you know, a lot of guys aren't able to do those kind of moves when they leave a platform such as WWE. But these guys, man, I'm telling you, Gallows taught us well how to hustle. Right? You know, he taught us real well. That's where the whole bootlegging comes from, you know, if it wasn't for Gallows. So I know that, you know, those boys will do very well. And being with Impact, it's been a nice splash on media for them. So I'm really happy about that, man. I'm really happy for the brothers. I'm actually talking to them right now. And the first text I get from Gallows is, hey, man, sorry I missed you the other day. When is New Japan opening up again? Do you know? Oh, man. I said, soon, man. Soon. Come on, man. Let me get there first before you, man. Come on.
Yeah, soon, but not soon enough. Definitely right? Not soon enough. That's the one thing that I think, you know, the perfect statement, I think, for the both of them is they don't leave money on the table. Man, yeah. they know how to make the most everything. That's another thing that came up that we need to move on to. I need to ask you about this because you're someone on the other side of this. They're obviously, you know, they've got their hands in all the pies right now. They said to me when I asked the other night, you know, you guys, your Impact contract apparently has a stipulation that you can still work in Japan. They said 100%. And they said, before I even got around to asking this question, they said, we want a working partnership between Impact and New Japan. Now, a lot of people will remember stuff that's happened in the past, but what are your thoughts on any potential working relationship? You know, Impact's got new management that's familiar with New Japan. What would your thoughts be on something like that happening?
I think it would be great. I think it would be great to get, you know, just bring out a product out here to the States. It would be great to have a platform to share that. We used to be on Access. We used to have a regular thing here, but I think with the situation, the world situation and things kind of, you know, taking a turn, I think it'll be good relationship for both. And having the good brothers there, somebody that we trust, you know, that worked with us before, that understands New Japan, the ins and outs, could really facilitate things like these, you know. And I think it'll be a great altogether. I would love that.
The one thing they sold me on was they were like, you know, obviously they guys are going to be there and going back and forward. But they said, imagine Tanahashi versus Eddie Edwards in a main event. And I was like, yep, sold.
That's
a good match right there. And there's plenty more where that came from.
It
was a mixing of rosters. So obviously we're going to get into a bit of New Japan. But I've got one question beforehand. I can see that you've shaved the beard off. You know, you used to have a slightly similar look. I never really knew how I felt about this comparison. Obviously, the attire was a bit similar. Everyone always compared Tama Tonga and Roman Reigns. What was that comparison like for you? What do you think of being compared to Roman Reigns?
All positive for me. You know, I don't take, to me, is nothing. And if the fans think so, okay, great. Because he's up there at a level with exposure, and all it does is just put me out there with him. So that's all positivity. It's all good. Love it. Yeah. I don't have no negative trait to it. You know, we had a little spat back and forth, you know. Yeah, but he knows now I ain't one to back down. But it's all good. We have that understanding.
That is a match I would absolutely love to see. But if anything came of it, you know, you've got the military background, which is why I believe you wear the kind of military attire. You've got the upper hand there, definitely. You can say not that.
Oh, definitely.
But of course, you're, not right now, but you are working in Japan, you know, if we look at things from the outside of the kind of coronavirus pandemic stuff. You are currently, I believe, contracted to New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, you are one of the OGs of the Bullet Club. There's been a few things going on with the Bullet Club recently, so of course I need to ask you about that.
Okay.
A man who recently seems to have joined, someone who you actually have defeated earlier this year in a tag team championship match, I believe, Evil. Was that earlier this year? That was last year.
No, that was last year.
That was last year, man.
That was last year.
So yeah, a year and a half ago. So a lot of change in that.
Yeah, we were feuding for a while. Evil with in Sonata. We were feuding. We were feuding for a while, and but we've had our eye on Evil for probably since the beginning of this year, and you know, gotta make moves, man. Bullet Club always gotta make moves for the future.
Well, that was something for me that, you know, the tournament had been building and building and building. And the more it gets in, the more you're going, I've got a feeling Evil is going to be, you know, the dark horse, so to speak, in this one. And that turn, you know, the gesture turning into the two sweet was like the greatest thing ever. I need to ask, what was your thoughts on that moment? How perfectly that was executed?
Oh, I was sitting up waiting on that moment. I loved it. I loved it. That's the stuff that we, you know, Bullet Club, man, we're known for, you know, bringing in guys, especially, you know, controversial guys, and Evil was definitely making that moment controversial, you know? So, I gotta say, it splashed all over social media, all over media. That was great. I loved it, man. Me and Evil came up together in the system, man. So I know there's a lot there that can happen with Evil. He's got a lot of talent, unexplored talent right now. So I think Bullet Club is going to be the one that's going to push him straight to the top, man.
Most definitely. I can't wait for that. And you might have kind of given away, you know, what I was going to ask next. The one thing that I want to ask you, the Bullet Club, of course, you know, one of the most dominant factions in the history of wrestling. But I think you would forgive me for saying no stranger to power struggles. You know, a lot of different leaders over the years, a lot of people vying for that leadership. You know, there's Evil is here. You know, you've got yourself as well, one of the OGs, one of the few OGs left. And of course, there's Jay White as well. Who is the current leader of the Bullet Club?
I'd say we all are. I'd say we're working as a team. It's a democracy right now. Yeah, it's a democracy because I think we X'd out one leader, and we always had the reputation of one leader goes out, another one comes in. But lately, we've had, you know, there's never been a time in Bullet Club like right now where, shoot, you got a guy with two straps, you know, the top two straps in New Japan. How is he not the leader? How is he not the, you know, but he is our front man right now. And so I gotta say, we got front men to represent the club. I think it's a better term. Instead of saying leader, we got front men, you know, the spearhead, the movement right now. So I'd say, because a leader is all, who's to say that Fale isn't the leader? Because I look at him as a leader. Who doesn't, you know, how do you know I'm not the leader? I've been in that since day one. You know, so Jay White, the man, was the front man. Now, he couldn't, you know, right now couldn't be in Japan because of the whole situation. So we made moves to get us a man to put us in the front, right?
Someone needs to step up. Needed to step up, and I guess you've got plenty of soldiers on the front line. I guess
that would be a
nice way to put it. So I've got one last question for you. You know, obviously, the way the situation is right now, I'm guessing you're just itching to get back in the wrestling ring. Obviously, you've got, you know, Tama's Island, that's keeping you busy, and hopefully it continues to keep you busy, because I love hearing it personally. But when you get back in the ring, you know, I guess you're going to be itching to wrestle someone, and they're going to get a whole lot of brutality coming their way. Who's the one person you want to get back in the ring with?
I don't have a person. I do have a goal. Yeah. I see that Okada put out a new title.
Yeah.
King of Pro Wrestling title. And that serves my interest a lot. And I think, man, to be the King of Pro Wrestling, That's a different one, New Japan. Something new, something I can definitely put my attention and focus to. It's new. You know, 2020, it's a whole new deal going on, man. I think we have a lot of opportunity here. So I wouldn't say a person. I would say a title. And that King of Pro Wrestling title looks mighty, mighty scrumptious.
Most definitely. I love that word for it. That is the best word I've heard to determine the title ever. I think they should rename it to the Scrumptious title. That would be absolutely amazing.
The Scrumptious title.
Excellent, man. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute blast for me, and hopefully we see you back in the ring very soon.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you. Cool, man. So am I okay to just ask that one last question for the podcast
okay.
as well?
Okay. Cool.
So, I know that turning Japanese on Wrestling Daft is normally Alex territory. Alex tries to convince myself and producer John that Japanese wrestling is the best wrestling on the planet. And I mean, I think he is getting round to convincing both of us because, man, there's so much to enjoy in Japan right now. Not least the fact that it's probably the only place you can see wrestling with a crowd right now. But Alex is, you know, Alex is an expert because he's watched it for several years, but he's got nothing on the man who joins me right now. One of the OGs of the Bullet Club, currently, or not quite currently, but currently wrestling in Japan, if we look at things from, you know, what's going to happen when he's back, Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga, I need to ask you, what makes Japanese wrestling great? What would you say to convince someone that had never watched Japanese wrestling that they need to watch it?
Oh my goodness, look at our history. We have a long history. 1972, New Japan started. Look who's been through it. Anybody who's ever came through New Japan, they've made it out there in America. I mean, look at our current standing right now. Look, Bullet Club was the biggest faction in all of pro wrestling, still is. Look at the people we've produced, Finn Balor, AJ Styles. Come on, the Good Brothers, you know, the Elite. Name it. We run there's a Bullet Club in every wrestling promotion out there in America, anywhere. We have our stand. Look at Shinsuke Nakamura, New Japan. Kushida, New Japan. I mean, come on, man. Do I need to keep going down the list? Look at our style. You have to make it through here. This is like the gauntlet. You make it through New Japan, you can make it anywhere.
And on that list is Tama Tonga as well, which is definitely a reason to be watching.
So that's it for this week's show. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe on Apple or wherever you get your podcast. Remember, we go twice a week now. You can get the main show on a Friday. Rab and Grado are back next week. You'll be glad to hear, and you can catch me and Gary back on the marks on a Tuesday. Danny, thanks for coming on, mate.
No, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. I mean, this is something I've wanted to do. No, maybe not just on Wrestling Daft, obviously, but I've been listening to a lot of podcasts earlier the lockdown and stuff like that, so it's actually something I've been wanting to step my foot in. So this is a great chance to actually try it out and see.
I look forward to the Ravy Davy podcast. That'll be a belter. Get it on the go, mate. Get it on the go. Remember, if you want to subscribe to Patreon, get more content, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Gary, what are you up to for the rest of the week? Where can we catch you?
Doing hopefully nothing for the next few days, just because I've got hundreds of interviews that need transcribed. So Wrestling Gary on Twitter, keep saying it. My gimmick, I type in Wrestling Daft, give that a follow, and then take away the last four letters, stick in Gary. Not sure what's going to be on this show. Full transparency, this is, I don't know what the interviews are were going with over the next few weeks, but obviously right. We've got Enzo probably at some point.
We'll do Enzo next week.
Can do.
Let's do Enzo next week once we've heavily edited out all the bits that we can't put out.
That's fine. I know that the people that listen to this won't be too bothered by the swear words. So Enzo, and then I've got to interview, I think I mentioned this on the marks, got to interview Cameron, now known as Ariane Andrew, was on the AEW tournament. She was brilliant. That's also a very sweary one as well, so I'm sure that'll go down well. And I mentioned it earlier, Eric Young, and I got to speak to Kimberly and Nivea for Impact as well over the past few days. So a load of Impact stuff.
Yeah, we've got a lot of interviews up in the next couple of weeks. So stick by us, Rab and Grado back next week. And until next time, I've not got a catchphrase for this one, have I?
Yeah, but I'm going to say keep marking out.
Keep marking out. But Davey, you've got a catchphrase, surely, as a wrestler. You can give us a catchphrase.
Thank you everybody for joining us, Wrestling Daft. He's been producer John, he's been Gary Casty Fispolsky, that I've been the Fresh Prince of the Royal Square, Ravy Davy, and that's what's happening, troops.
Audio Frontier.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.